chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the net in the eyes of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel. It did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil.
New era to me in just listening to the word, and that's powerful, isn't it? Corey read it in such a way that you could hear the different people that were speaking, and truly a blessing. Are we going to record this next?
Yeah, Proverbs and then Portraits of Proverbs should be coming up pretty soon.
Okay. So we'll have these character sets in front of us and on tape, and I think it's a wonderful way to utilize your travel time. To listen to God's Word being read in such an effective way. You're kind of with it today, aren't you? Were you high?
I get into this. It's when this book, the character sets like you described and like there are here, are so descriptive. It's hard not to get into those characters. You know?
I thought you were going to speak in tongues. All you needed was to raise your hands. No, I think it's a real art to be able to read meaningfully and to understand what is being said and to really enter into what the author has in mind. So Keep reminding me always to use Tori on Sunday mornings. I forget. Corey, get you guys straightened out some way. Now, we want to take a look this morning at two things, though I think the two is going to reduce itself to one. And so let's go to the book of Proverbs, and let's look at Proverbs 10, verse 11. Let's start there. 18:21. And we're once again doing a subject study in the book of Proverbs, which must be done in order to get the complete teaching of the book. And we want to look this morning at the tremendous power of words. Words can do at least a half a dozen things that are very important, and we all love to use words. I don't know of anyone that I've ever met that says to me, "I hate to talk. I don't like conversation." People love to talk. And the basic idea put across in Proverbs is through a metaphor. And that metaphor is found in Proverbs chapter 18:21. This is the basic imagery that is set up to teach us the power of words. And I know of no more powerful metaphor than found in 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Wow. Life or death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, that is the use of the tongue, will eat its fruit. Those who love to use words and love to speak will eat of its fruit. So the basic idea is coming from your mouth is life or death. Basic idea is what you say is a life or death matter. And if you love words, not only is the issue great, but if you love to use words, you got to be prepared to eat of the fruit. And Proverbs will tell us that there are two kinds of fruits that you can eat. But first of all, we must be prepared for the things we say. Now, the second idea is words have power to do several things. And we'll not repeat the word power in writing, but simply put it up here. They have power to bring blessing. Words have power to bring blessing. Now, that's held and handled from several different areas. First of all, they have power to bring blessing in the sense of they can bring refreshment. Chapter 10, verse 11. They have power to bring blessing in the sense of refreshment. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And notice the positive part, that the mouth and thus the words of the righteous is a fountain of life. And the idea of fountain of life is the idea of vitality, of refreshment. And therefore, your tongue can be a blessing in the sense that they bring, your words bring refreshment. I don't think many of us have any idea what words can do. Last Sunday, I think it was, I don't even remember who did it, but I remember who said it, just absolutely lit my fire. I think sometimes in preaching and teaching, we get a little bit pious and say, you know, you shouldn't be discouraged or encouraged by man. That's true. But is it also true that God often uses someone to really encourage you and light your fire? Someone said last week, and I remember their words, "Boy, that was good stuff." And I tell you what you did. You lit my fire for the week, and it still lit, I hope, this morning. So words have tremendous power to refresh in this particular context. Look at chapter 10, also verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. And notice the positive part. The lips of the righteous feed. And so the emphasis is refreshment or blessing. Now, they not only refresh and bless, but they also may be a source of wisdom. Someone may say something that is really a wise saying. And let's look at three places. Proverbs 10:13 first. But on the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found. Wisdom from the mouth. Chapter 15, verse 17, or verse 7 rather, 15:7. Notice this all under the idea that blessing can be spread by your mouth in terms of refreshment or in terms of wisdom. Chapter 15, verse 7 reads, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. So wisdom, knowledge, refreshment. Look at chapter 20 and verse 15. 20:15. And here his metaphor is colorful. There is gold, an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. Notice the power of the words to bless people in terms of refreshment and in terms of wisdom. As a matter of fact, we can take it a step further. Words can be a means of healing. Words can heal. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12, 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword. But on the other hand, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Chapter 16, verse 24. 16:24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So three things in terms of blessing, refreshment, wisdom, and healing. And finally, words can be a definite source of joy. And we're looking at Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. So notice we have in our hands a tremendous tool, and it's the things that come forth from our lips that can refresh people, can bring wisdom to people and guidance, that can bring healing and can bring joy. They have the power of blessing. Number two. Words have the power, now this is on the negative side, they have the power of deception. Words have the power of deception. And for that, look at two places. Chapter 26, verse 24. 26:24. He who hates disguises it with his lips. Boy, doesn't that have truth in it? Walk down the street and I see someone that is the last person on God's earth I want to say hello to. And what do I say? Hi, scumbag. Oh, no, no. That's my heart. That's not my lips. My lips says, oh, I haven't seen you for a long time. It's so good to see you. And what have we done? We have taken on a air of deceiving something or hiding something that is really hatred, but it is disguised. And the best Halloween mask you can ever put on is with your mouth. You can't do better than that. Look at 28:24. 28:24. He who robs his father or his mother and says, that's the idea. And says, again, this is an idea of using the lips to deceive. It is not a transgression. It is a companion of a man who destroys. So notice what he speaks covers the reality of the truth. Words have the power of blessing, the power of deception. Number three. Words have another very powerful use. They can be used to entice. Have you ever dealt with the silver-tongued salesman who sells you something shabby? Well, he knows that words have a power, and they have power in this context to entice. Proverbs 5, verses 3 and 4. Proverbs 5, verses 3 and 4. We'll look at three verses along this line, 5, 3, and 4. The lips of an adulteress. Now, we'll be coming very soon to study this character in Proverbs. Here she is called the adulteress. Elsewhere, she is called the strange woman. The word adulteress and strange woman are the same, and neither one of them really convey the idea very well. The idea of strange woman, what does it make you think of? Boy, she's an oddball. Strange as in odd. Well, the book of Proverbs uses the word strange, which means foreign. Foreign woman. And you say, foreign to what? Foreign to the nation of Israel. And you say, so what? Foreign to the nation of Israel is to be foreign to the Word of God. Because it was Israel alone in the Old Testament that possessed the Word of God. And therefore, he's simply saying in Proverbs, there's a kind of woman whose whole thinking and mentality is contrary to the Word of God. She's a stranger to God's Word. And we will see that character set perhaps next time. Next Sunday or perhaps later. But nonetheless, the strange woman is very much in the book of Proverbs, and the strange woman is the foreign woman. She's foreign to Israel and therefore also foreign to the Word of God. Chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of the adulteress drip honey, smoother than oil her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood. And notice the idea involved, the tremendous enticing power of words. Chapter 7 and verse 5. And again, the word of God is given, beginning in 7. My son, keep my words, treasure my commandments with you, keep my commandments and live. And by the way, the idea of memorizing Scripture is the dominant idea in Proverbs. Not just knowing it, not just having it, but memorizing. And that's all wrapped up in verse 1. Treasure my commandments in a book. No, the Word of God is to be transferred from the written Word to the heart. And it is to be treasured inside of us. And that paraphrase is simply saying, memorize it. That will be very much a theme in chapter 3. but chapter 7 and verse 5. These words may keep you from the foreign or stranger woman, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. The power to entice. Look at verse 21 also. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. It had power to entice. Number 4, they have power to entangle. They have power to entangle. This is the Proverbs method of saying, you just stuck your foot in your mouth. And we've all done it. And in Proverbs 6, verse 2, you have the power of words to entangle. If you have been snared with the words of your mouth, paraphrased, if you said something really dumb, really stupid, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this, my son, and deliver myself. And he tells them how to do it. Power to entangle. Words also can wreck a person. They have the power to destroy. Words have power to destroy. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. 11:9. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, or literally, the word neighbor is the word in Hebrew for friend. He destroys his friend. There is no distinction in the Old Testament in terms of words between a neighbor and a friend. So whenever you read neighbor, just put an equal sign, friend. And neighbor doesn't mean the person who lives next to you, lives down the block from you. It means a friend, any friend. So, with his mouth, the godless man destroys his friend. And many, many, many a friendship can be destroyed with words. One of the things you have to watch, at least I have to watch, is you see a girl or a guy going with another person, and you look at them and say, you seem to have good sense. How could you date such a geek as that? Now, what's the mistake you can make? And you really get entangled. You say, Sally, do you really like that geek? And then what does Sally later do? She marries him. And now, what does she always remember about me? The name that I called her husband. And perhaps their children. And therefore, words can destroy, they can entangle, they can entice. Words are a tremendous tool to move people. You can move people intellectually through teaching. You can move people emotionally by means of your words. And let me ask you this morning, as the word of God was read in Proverbs chapter 1, did you feel moved? Did it get a hold of you? It certainly did me. I felt emotionally, and I hope intellectually too, moved by those words. Words have tremendous power. And as someone said once, you have convinced me through this study, I will never again say a word to anybody. Well, that's an extreme type thing to do that. But many, many times you look back on life and you so regret the things that you've said in a weak moment and lose. Now, there's the other side to that. Always give the person the freedom to speak and not be taken too seriously. If you come up to me and say, I saw you do something, you're a jerk. Now that's kind of strong. And I know I'm not a jerk. I'm looking for response. And what do if a person says to you, why don't you jump in the river? Do you take that seriously? Of course you don't. And so on the other side is give the person the freedom to say something crazy. We all do. And recognize that they probably didn't really mean it because it was spoken out of emotion, not necessarily out of the heart. And we can all speak out of emotion through temper or something of that sort and say foolish things. And therefore, we ought to try to guard against that. But at the same time, if we're the one to whom they are spoken, we ought to guard against that also. Power of words. No wonder that James says, if you can bridle the tongue, you can bridle the whole body. Now, in our concluding 10, 12 minutes, we want to begin, and that's all we're going to be able to do today, to begin a study of something mentioned over 100 times in the book of Proverbs. Over 100 times, I'll just put 100 plus, you have mention of the word heart. Out of your heart. And therefore, while sometimes the heart of man refers to the physical organ, I think we can pretty much set that aside. Because that's a very, very rare occasion. Of these 100 times, he is not talking about the heart in that sense. He is talking about the heart in what sense? We should get that down first. He talks about the heart in the sense of its being the inner part of man. Inner. Whenever we get something into our inner being, so we can quote it and we can repeat it, we say, why, I know that poem, and what are the words? By heart. And you certainly do not mean that you know it and you've hidden it in the sense of your physical heart, but in your inner man. It not only refers to the inner man, it also refers to the immaterial. And in the immaterial part of man, that breaks in turn into the three categories that we are already familiar with. The inner man, or the immaterial part of man, made by God, has given us three basic capacities. We have, number one, capacity to think. You have capacity to think. And thinking involves, I can see the relationship between this and this. That's basic intelligence. You turn on a switch and the light comes on. You turn it down and it goes off. And being the brilliant person you are, you say, I bet there's a cause and effect going on here. If I push the switch up, the light goes on. If I push it down, the light goes off. And you're synthesizing things. That's called intelligence. The more you can synthesize, probably, the more of a thinker you are. You ever seen people that can put this and this and this and this and this together? And you say, that's brilliant. That's the ability given by God to think. Of the three capacities, this is probably the less or least used. Capacity to think, capacity to feel. Man has the capacity to feel. And by the way, we will find out that the capacity to think is to control the capacity to feel. That our volition is in control. So capacity to think, to feel, and then finally, capacity to choose. Easiest way to illustrate that is when you walk in a restaurant, you're handed a menu, and the menu says you've got a choice. Read down it and choose. Now, if you're in early married life, you don't do that. You lose the capacity to choose because you don't look down the food item. What column do you look down? you look down the price column. And you know when next to the lobster it says market value. You know that's got to be heavy. But these are capacities that are all to be regulated by the Word of God. And the heart can take in all of these things. And you can usually tell which one is the strong emphasis. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What is the primary place? He's talking about his mind, isn't he? He says in his mind, there is no God. And therefore, we'll go through and we'll see whether he's talking about the capacity to think, to feel, or to choose, or in many cases, all three of them are put together. Now, let's look at the categories that we'll be looking at in regard to the heart. The categories of heart analysis in the Scripture. Number one, the Scripture has a great deal to say about a healthy heart. A healthy heart. And we will look down that list and we will find there are seven characteristics of a healthy heart as far as the Word of God is concerned. And some of them will be, it's a disciplined type life. It's a joyful, but we'll look at all of the Proverbs that have to do with good things about your heart. Now, unfortunately, most hearts are not healthy. Most hearts are what we may call spiritually diseased. Do you know how many spiritual maladies of the heart are attributed to the heart in Proverbs? The book of Proverbs traces out 12 heart problems. 12 heart problems are traced out in the book of Proverbs. And now I think this is a good place to break, though we're a little bit early, and we'll begin to pick up with the healthy heart, and we will do that on Wednesday. Tonight, I want you to see the great anti-Semitic emperor. And who was that? Most anti-Semitic, hate Jews individual ever to rule in the Roman Empire. And that is Hadrian. And so we'll look at this man tonight, Hadrian, and then back on Wednesday evening with a study of the healthy heart and the diseased heart. Father, we're thankful once again for your word. We're thankful that your words are always healing. We're thankful that many times your words cut and they get us where we live. But we're thankful that you always cut in order to heal. And therefore, may we listen carefully to your words. May we put a guard about our own lips so that our lips are under control. And therefore, the things we say are a blessing, they are nourishing, they impart wisdom, they do not impart foolishness, and help us to recognize at the same time we can use the tongue and words for some many, many wrong things to entice and to ensnare, to uncover and to cover up. Help us to learn these lessons of wisdom from your word in Christ's name. Amen.